Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you do know that every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show to talk about health and the healing process. I'm asking you, don't wait till the end of the show. Don't even wait till the bottom of the hour to start texting in your questions. Text them in now. If you've got a health and healing question, we want to hear about it. Text 877-933-2484. We've got a couple of interesting topics to talk to you about today. The first one we're going to talk about is misdiagnoses. What are some of the most common things that are misdiagnosed? And then also, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we just pre-recorded a show with Troy just now. We just finished for when I'm gone in March. And he said something that was very interesting. He said self-limiting beliefs can turn into a disease process. Wow, think about that. Self-limiting beliefs can turn into a disease process. So a little bit later in the show, we're going to unpack that, tackle that, and I'm hoping we can do some ministry. So if you're able, and you know this is that raw place, it's a no-fluff zone, nobody pretends here, no facades, because this is how we get real and get healed. If you already know of about a self-limiting belief, something that a thought that you know weakens you, a thought that rehearses in your mind, text me. What do you think your self-limiting belief is? Because we want to minister to some of you. So we'll read some of those. Troy and I will talk about them. We're going to offer you some encouragement, and we'll pause and we'll pray for you. So if you already know that you've got a self-limiting belief, you've identified it, but you really maybe haven't done anything about it, why don't you text us? I'm hoping we can minister to you today. 877-933-2484. Again, Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the airwaves. That wouldn't be fair to him or to you. So for specific medical advice, you really do need to consult your physician. But I'm praying you get just a fresh look on health and the healing process. A quick announcement before we hear from Dr. Troy. Asking you, charging you in the name of Jesus, if you feel so called, to become a radio podcast missionary. In other words, if there's a show that you hear that encourages you, like I think today's show will, would you share it with some friends? You know, you share a show, you can change a life. Who knows? Somebody may need to hear the right word at the right time, and you could be the conduit for that. You can do that either by hopping on the website after the live show is over, myfaithradio.com, and the link will be there. I think give us an hour, and the podcast will be ready. Or on the app, you can share it that way as well. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, it seems like we just talked. Welcome back.
Thanks. So happy to be here.
Yeah. Looking forward to the conversation. Before we get into the topic, tell me what God has been talking to you about these days.
Well, for myself, I've dove into Proverbs because it's just a season where I really can appreciate wisdom and need wisdom and want to walk in wisdom. So when I started looking at scripture and wisdom, Proverbs was all over it there. And so Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
Yeah, that's so good. And then another translation, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. That's powerful.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
Very good. Okay, misdiagnoses. We're going to look at a number of things that either often get misdiagnosed or somebody may get a label put on them, and it's not really that, or they may be accidentally diagnosed with something else, and it's this. So we're going to dig in just a minute, but I know you know about this story, and this is as I remember it, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember reading about a story about a man. I want to say he was late 40s, 50s, too young for Alzheimer's, but he was experiencing cognitive decline to the point where he received an Alzheimer's diagnosis. He was a business owner. He lost his business, went into a care center for Alzheimer's patients. And then somebody met somebody like you and heard about somebody like me who had a similar situation, knew that they'd been treated for mold and had dealt with cognitive issues. They pulled him out and did the NeuroQuant MRI like they did for me, did a bunch of blood work. And what did they find? Loaded with mold. So they put him on the mold protocol. He got his cognitive function back. They pulled him out of that center and he opened another business and he's thriving. I mean, that to me, it's like if someone wouldn't have talked with him, you think about where that would have gone. But say a word, if you would, about, I wonder how often something like that happens.
Well, it actually happens quite a bit. I mean, I'm in the industry, so I see it a lot. It happened to me too. When I was in my 20s, I was misdiagnosed and told I'd be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. And they just got, they were in the ballpark, but they missed the diagnosis. I've had many people come to me and they say, and I've got a few just off the top of my head, but one in particular said, I was told I don't have MS yet, but it looks like I'm going to get MS. Hmm. Come back when it's a full-blown MS.
Wow.
And she was not on board with that and wanted to look at how can I prevent it, number one. I'm currently treating someone right now who has been given the diagnosis of ALS or Lou Gehrig's, which is very, very catastrophic for a lot of patients. But the doctor also said that they're hesitant because it's not clear. And so I love when I hear that there's a little bit of uncertainty, because almost always that means it's something else really. And so, and in this person's scenario, they had atrophy in one of their hands. They had, the hand was turning in, they had lost grip strength. And so we started doing some work, and within the first 2 weeks, we got strength back. If it was a true ALS, we would not have been able to do that. So with confidence, I can say that it's not that is with confidence what I would say to her, and time will tell basically what we're dealing with. But we see it all the time, and it's important to, I always tell people, that you are not your disease. And more commonly, I will have someone who does have MS, but the reasons why they're coming in might be headaches or fatigue, and they're lumping that in and say, oh, that's my MS that's doing that. And then we change their diet and they feel better. And like, no, that wasn't your MS doing that. So a lot of times we'll take a diagnosis like that, and then everything that's wrong with us falls into that bucket. And that's not true either.
Boy, if you do that, you accept more than you should, right?
Absolutely. It's a word curse, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And in a little bit, we're going to talk about self-limiting beliefs. I see someone who wrote in who feels that they'll never be free from restless legs. So we are going to pray for you. But, you know, just thinking about this topic of misdiagnoses, are these probably the most common misdiagnoses? Maybe someone is told they might have MS, but it ends up being Lyme or maybe even mold, or someone's told they have Alzheimer's and again, it's Lyme or mold. And also fibromyalgia, is that more kind of like a big umbrella where oftentimes, I don't know, I'm not a doc, I'm just asking, is that kind of this all-inclusive, we're going to put it in the fibromyalgia, you know, bucket because we're not 100% sure what's going on? I mean, and then others I want to know about is adrenal fatigue, chronic fatigue, methylation. You know, there's times where people are diagnosed with mental health things and they truly have mental health symptoms, but when you treat the methylation, it clears up so much of what they're dealing with. So are those, or do you have more that come to mind as well?
Well, those are actually some of the most common ones. We see a lot of fibromyalgia. The reason is they're just now starting to develop criteria in the medical system to best assess that. I had a patient go through a whole series of testing and different questionnaires and things like that at Mayo Clinic, and they actually diagnosed him with fibromyalgia. 5-10 years ago, they didn't believe fibromyalgia was a real thing. So that kind of has made a shift there. But a lot of people get diagnosed with that because it's a bucket catch-all type of thing. And so for me, it's just, I don't even like labels. I really don't. So I like to look at where's the breakdown in communication mentally, chemically, physically, and spiritually. And if you can restore communication, then God has a healing for you. So it's a completely different way to look at it instead of like a diagnosis. Sometimes if you can hear the diagnosis, but not take on all the negative stuff that you read about it, it can be helpful to kind of navigate what to do. But fibromyalgia for me is one of the big ones. And MS, a lot of times people will be diagnosed with MS because of a scan. And the kind of the weird thing is I've had people get that diagnosis and then their symptoms improve, but their scan stays the same. So they'll have these white marks on the scan that show, and they're like, oh, with your symptoms, that's going to be MS. So another way of saying is our technology, although it's fascinatingly complex and really, really good, can also not be 100%. None of the testing procedures are 100%. So people a lot of times think, oh, I got lab work or I got this test and it is very definitive. That's not always the case. I have scans come in all the time and I look at the person and they're very functional, and their scan tells me they should have some type of debilitating neurologic disorder. So, and that's rare that happens, but it does happen. So there's so much more we just don't understand in the healthcare world.
You know, in Dr. Tim Jennings' book, we've had him on several times, and one of his books on fear and the brain, I can't remember the title, but he tells this true story of a man who was told that he had liver cancer and had 3 months to live. The man died in 3 months, only to family to learn that was a misdiagnosis, that it was a small tumor that could have easily been removed, but he died believing that he had 3 months. And it's like, again, I just, the reason, that's why I wanted to cover this so much, because again, even if you've been given a diagnosis, it's so important to get a second and third opinion. And it's really important to get the mind of Christ about all the emotional issues that it brings up. So when we come back, let's talk a bit more about that. What does a person do if they get this definitive diagnosis? Because there's such division in the healthcare world, Troy, that there are some docs that might take it personally. If you're like, I need to get a second opinion. So, but as you were saying when we pre-recorded the show, we do need to advocate for ourselves. So let's just talk a bit more about misdiagnoses, and then there's a bunch of questions that have come in, and then we're going to go after that whole idea of self-limiting beliefs can turn into a disease process. Troy will explain that, and we're going to pray for some of you. More with Dr. Troy in just a moment. Listen to Faith Radio live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. You brought me blessings out of a tragedy. You turned my old song into a symphony. And with your spirit living inside of me, I'm a new creation. Hope you're having a really fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a super great conversation with our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl. He joins us every month to talk about health and the healing process. And I've got a number of questions that have come in, but I'm inviting you also to text. If you have a self-limiting belief, text it in, because as many as we can cover, we're going to pray with you. Because one of the things Dr. Troy said during a show we pre-recorded before this show was self-limiting beliefs can turn into disease processes. And I really think it kind of speaks to that in that story I told about the man who died believing that he had only 3 months to live. And this is why I go after this so hard, inner healing and being ruthless with the lies that the enemy's constantly planting. You think about it, he's not messing around. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's good about your life. And we've become so passive at times. We've put up with so much junk from him that we've got to really develop a mindset that Jesus died for our life, for our flourishing, for salvation, for eternity, and even for his goodness in the land of the living. So when this stuff comes at us, we've got to sort it through and get to that path of peace, of faith, of hope and love. Amen? Somebody got to give me an amen. So Troy, is there any more you want to talk about? We really probably could do a whole show on misdiagnoses of people who are living with a label that's actually like this man who thought he had Alzheimer's, and then to find out he had mold, he treated it, he got his cognitive function back. What do you do, what do you say to someone who maybe has received something that feels like a death sentence to them?
Well, one of my foundational beliefs that God put on my heart at a very, very young age is that there's an answer to every problem. I believe that 100%. I have zero doubt that God would allow a problem without a solution. And so I know there's up and there's down. I know there's good and there's evil. And I know that there are problems and there are answers. And so I just know there's an answer to every single person's problem out there. And so it's one of those things where, again, we started off the show with Proverbs 9:10, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to make wise choices starts with, it's not that we need to be afraid of God. We need to be afraid of being disobedient to God. So what is God telling you? And so there are diseases that God allows, and not everyone is a Job scenario where that's the case that's going on. And although our time is, written in the books there as far as when we're going to pass, it doesn't necessarily mean we're not meant to be struggling in life as long as many people are. So the fear of the Lord starts with being obedient. And then the insight of the Holy One starts with just the discipline, reading his word, like really lean into God and see what he has for you. And that'll help navigate your path as you are looking for those answers yourself or being introduced to people who potentially have those answers.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on and take some of these questions. This dear one says, thoughts on this scenario, 4 concussions in 10 years, starting as a young teen after getting braces. That's so interesting. Concussions and then getting braces, major muscle tension in the head, neck, chest, monthly migraine after period, digestive issues, vegan diet, hyperbaric oxygen helps some, conventional methods backfire. Any ideas to promote core healing? I'm thinking Dr. Troy's rubbing his hands going, I want to get my hands on you. This is somebody I think you could help. What do you say?
Yeah, that is very, very common. And so there's something going on there that just needs to be identified. It could be physical. And then we see that with any type of cervical problems as far as just compression of the neck. But 4 concussions, a lot of times we see that with soccer players. So I'd be interested to know if she was a soccer player. But my 2 cents is that concussions are more common nowadays because of pre-existing inflammation in the brain. Wow. and low vitamin D processes. So improving vitamin D and the immune system in the brain prevents concussions. I played rugby myself and played football and hockey and got hit quite a bit. And so I understand how concussions can happen, but the dental comment is very, very key because your head, neck, and jaw go together. And so there is a disconnect in communication there. And migraines is a sign of some head, neck, and jaw issues. The 4 concussions is a sign of pre-existing inflammation. A lot of times that happens from digestive stuff. So people like this could be anything from gluten or dairy sensitivities or a food reaction to, like you were talking about earlier, a methylation issue where you're not detoxifying hormones properly and or depleting vitamin D. A lot of times young kids are smothered with sunblock and it blocks all the vitamin D. And so you go into sports, even though you're outside, but you're all covered up with the sunblock and you're not getting the vitamin D, and that predisposes you to actual concussion. So it's hard to answer without getting into the details, but that is all that there's a pattern there. And so correcting the head, neck, and jaw, making sure that's physically balanced, and then identifying what is the inflammatory stressor or potentially the inability to detox properly. And then you'll have an answer, but that I can almost guarantee there's a solution to that particular problem right there.
Wow. This one says, hearing a lot about heavy metals and chocolate. What can you say? How concerned should I be?
You just read that recent article on cadmium. Yeah. So
yeah,
I saw that too. I've that's the number one question people come in. I've had people just kind of walk right through the threshold of my door, start tearing up. And I'm like, what's wrong? Mm. Thinking loved ones passed away. And they said, there's cadmium in chocolate.
Oh, I must have missed that article. I thought you were coming down to me because I like that. Anyway, keep going. Keep going. So no, there's an article. Okay.
Out. Yeah, there's something that came out. So we'll see about that. It has to do with the processing. But heavy metals, when not detoxified properly, can be very problematic. So it's concerning right now. So right now it's early. We'll see. But I have seen that, and heavy metals can block the ability for people to detoxify properly, absorb nutrients properly. I had someone get amalgams, and or this was my mentor, actually, his patient, who had someone get amalgams and was a personal trainer, and within 30 days of getting mercury in their teeth, gained 30 pounds without changing anything else, took the mercury out and lost the 30 pounds. So,
wow.
The heavy metals can actually throw off a lot for some particular people.
I would imagine, I mean, I haven't read the article, but if you've got like an organic, dark, healthy chocolate, would it still be in there, you think? Or,
It should be better. It should be.
okay.
So I haven't seen that duplicated yet. So I'm looking
Okay.
for other sources. So right now, I would never globally tell women to avoid dark chocolate right now. So I
Because
want you
we'd
to hear
attack you.
that.
That's right. Okay.
But we do
Yeah.
have to enter this cautiously because that's the first I've heard of that was that recent
Interesting.
article. So yeah.
Okay, this follow-up question, what's the balance with sunscreen to prevent skin cancer and then getting the vitamin D you need from the sun?
Yeah, great question. So number one, there are healthier versions of sunscreen. So a lot of sunscreens just have really toxic chemicals that they put in with it. So I don't like those. But I am a huge fan of going out and touching the ground, being a part of the dirt, the soil, and getting sun for a good for as much as you can early in the day, and then using shade and stuff. So I myself like 20 to 30 minutes of sun. I'm against sunburns. I am not a fan of that, but you want to slowly get your body accustomed to the sun. So early in the spring, especially if you're up north, then you just ease into it as far as the amount of sun before putting a sunscreen on. I myself just don't use sunscreen, so I'll do extra coconut oil. I'll put sunscreen on my ears and on my nose, and I'll wear a hat or shade as much as I can, but I'll slowly engage in that. And with my heritage of being English, Welsh, Irish, Scottish, that whole area there, they're very, very sensitive to sun. But when I brought coconut oil into my diet after 2 years, I stopped turning pink and started actually tanning. I started receiving the
Wow.
sun better.
So ingesting coconut oil.
Ingesting coconut oil, yeah, cooking with it and actually putting it in our meals, and that helped me quite a bit.
Why?
Well, think about people who are from the tropics, like Samoa or Hawaii. They live off of coconut and they don't burn. So there are people who are in sun all the time and just don't burn, or have been and don't burn. And so it's not just about holes in the ozone and things like that. There's so much more to it as far as protection. And again, if you are physically sweating, if your immune system is able to get to the surface of the skin, even with burns, it can clean it up and clear it out. So there's a whole that's a whole other show. But how they've got skin cancer and the sun damage is mostly backwards, I'm going to say, as far as
Well, let's cover that for sure later because that
yeah.
feels really important as especially for those of us in the Midwest as the weather starts to turn. We've got listeners from around the world, but especially those of us who are counting the days till we feel the warmth of the sun again. So when we come back, we'll address our first self-limiting belief. This dear one says that thinks that they'll never be free from restless leg syndrome. And the reason we're tackling some of these, we're going to pray for some of you, is Dr. Troy said in a show we pre-recorded before this one, self-limiting beliefs can turn into a disease process. So, on the other side of the break, I'm going to have him unpack what he means there. And, friend, I'll have him speak to the restless leg thing and I'll pray for you. And then we'll keep going with the questions. More with Dr. Troy in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Sperl. He is the founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us every month to talk health and the healing process. Don't you love these conversations? Every step towards healing matters, and there are things that we don't know that might make all the difference. And we always kick off the show with a particular topic, and then we dig into your questions. So our opening topic was misdiagnoses. But the other thing that Doc said during the show that he and I pre-recorded just a bit ago was something that I wanted to unpack. And it's this, that self-limiting beliefs can turn into a disease process. Hear that, friend. This is why I want us to be ruthless with the lies that we pick up when life lets us down. The enemy wants to steal from us. God wants us to have life and life abundantly. So explain that. Self-limiting beliefs can turn into a disease process. How's that so?
Well, when you have a self-limiting belief, that in itself is a lie that you're believing. And the lie causes internal conflict. So the analogy I gave before is one part of your brain will be saying, go, go, go. Another part of your brain will say, stop, 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 because there's a protective mechanism. So it's like driving your car with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. And it just speeds up the degenerative aging process. And so these lies or self-limiting beliefs that are built off of believing a lie basically will cause this internal just damage because of that conflict. And so identifying that lie and what, you know, what is the lie that you are believing? There's so much value. And once you have identified the lie, then you want to just take a look at what repentance might look like. So repentance is basically changing one's mind direction 180 degrees. So whatever that looks like with that particular lie or belief is what has to be done. So instead of I'll give an example of someone who says, I hate the body that God gave me. You go from that to I love and am thankful for the body that God gave me. So you want to kind of switch that around. But there's all kinds of different chemical reactions, interactions, and physiological processes that occur internally from that conflict. And you guys, everyone knows this, because a lot of times you'll know when something's just not right. Even stuff that comes out of your mouth, you're like, that's not right.
Right. And you get the the gut knot thing. And I mean, truly, yep. You think about it, the truth sets us free. The lie sets us up for sickness. The lie is what actually causes us stress. So if you're walking around with a root of rejection in your life, where you're chronically believing everybody overlooks you, nobody likes you, that can't not affect your cells. I always say what happens in your soul happens in your cells. There's a physiological reaction, even in your brain. If you're repeatedly thinking people don't love you, that affects your happy hormones, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The way to identify, and we talked about this before a little bit on the pre-recorded show, but if you hear yourself throw an excuse, like I don't have time, or one of the big excuses we hear a lot is that runs in my family. It's genetic. Mm-hmm. That those are actually lies, or those excuses are built off of lies that we're believing. So they can even seem very, very insignificant. But if you spend just a little bit of time and become an expert at identifying the lies that you believe, you will be shocked at how the truth will set you free and how healing can come from that.
Amen. And we've, again, addressed this before, but it's just worth saying in case someone's listening going, well, that thing does run in the family. You may have a predisposition to anxiety, depression, alcoholism. It's not a guarantee that you're going to be walking in it. You have to agree with that. You may have to work harder than the average person to overcome anxiety, alcoholism, whatever, but you got the blood of Jesus and the power of the resurrected Christ mm-hmm. alive in you. Nothing is impossible for you. So that's super important to know. Okay, Doc, this is the first self-limiting belief. If this person wrote in and believes they'll never be free from restless leg syndrome, and maybe speak to that condition, and then friend, I'll pray for you.
Yeah, the first thing is it's very important to believe that you can be healed from RLS, or restless leg syndrome. So that wouldn't be the self-limiting belief, but that is something that you have to start with. So you have to believe that there's an answer to your problem. So number one. To speak to it, the first thing we look at with restless leg syndrome, there's just a whole slew of things, the mental checklist, so to speak, and we have to make sure that oxygen delivery is good. So iron levels can be a problematic. Magnesium is important for restless leg from just a chemical perspective. Restless leg usually comes from an area of the brain called the basal ganglia that sets the tone for muscles and emotions. So past stressors and current stressors can contribute to it. And that includes sleep disorders, side effect of medications. Is restless leg syndrome is a huge side effect of many different types of medications. And so it's really, really important to start to look at what of all those factors might be contributing to the restless leg, including it's not just lack of oxygen from anemia and things like that, or lack of iron, but lack of blood sugar regulation. And like we said, sleep disorders. But I'm trying to identify what is the self-limiting belief. It's usually something from the past in some way, shape, or form.
Hmm.
So it's really about asking yourself questions. We have a saying: if you get stuck, ask God a better question. And so, if you can finish, I'll give you some examples here. And this is a limited list, but if you can finish these sentences, then it might give you an idea as to what is the self-limiting belief. But finish this sentence: I have to keep moving because, or I can't be still because, or if you can finish this one: I can't forgive whoever because. If there's a name that pops up there, I can't forgive Martha because, and you have a reason for it, the because is basically leading into what your excuse is. And the excuse is nothing more than a reason wrapped in the skin of a lie. So if you can finish those sentences, I will never heal because, so that's the excuse. So then you have to figure out, what is the lie I believe? I can heal, or I am worthy of a healing. So many times the self-limiting belief is, I'm not worthy of a healing. I don't deserve to heal because. So those are the things that we have to start looking at to identify what is the self-limiting belief. What's the lie that we're believing?
Yeah,
and it
what's
can be
underneath
tricky to
that?
Identify.
Yeah, I love those questions you asked. So friend, maybe start with that and spend some time with God around that. But even change your declaration that there is a solution to this problem. I belong to Jesus and the Holy Spirit's going to lead me into all truth, as scripture says. Just start making a new declaration as you do some of that work around what Dr. Troy said. So Father, we pray for this friend that you change their narrative, but not just the words they're saying, the things that they're believing. And I pray, God, that you'd show them, is there a core lie that they can't slow down, they can't stop, they can't forgive. They can't rest because they maybe don't trust that you're going to work. I pray you show them what that lie is and show them the truth they need and bring healing in a profound way. In Jesus' name, amen. And the reason I think this is so important, it's such an important conversation, friends, is because I think the healing process, I think we're coming into a wave of miracles in the days ahead. I really do. But there's so many of us who have an infrastructure for sickness that if God just relieved us of our symptoms, but left intact our lies that we believe and the emotional baggage with our story, we're just inviting another affliction. And I'm not saying it's our fault. I'm just saying we want a break, but God wants a breakthrough. We want relief. God wants full redemption of our story. And this is why I think sometimes the process isn't a straight line. It's a little bit of a twisty-turny road because he wants to heal the whole person. And Doc, did you want to add anything to that before we move on to all these questions?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I do feel like we're entering into a new season. And in that new season, once we start, things are just going to be changing. I think healthcare is going to look different even. It's going to be that significant as far as how God is showing up and how we are turning to God and how we are going to be using a lot of the things God has already put within us in a different way. I heard years ago someone talk about medications and drugs and how important they are. And I just remember thinking, two, that all of these drugs work on receptors that we have inside of us already. So the reality is God already built a billion-dollar pharmacy inside of us. We just have to be able to tap in and use what God has already given us. So it's there. It's all there. We just are just learning how to operate it better by trusting God.
Wow. This question, why is iodine so important?
Ooh, it's actually the most efficient mineral on the planet, iodine. So iodine comes from the ocean, and iodine is what makes up your thyroid. So the thyroid is made up of T3. It releases T3 and T4, which is the 3 and 4 stand for iodine molecules. So basically your metabolism and your energy, iodine is the key that starts the engine. So for all your cells. So if you don't have iodine, you don't have a good functioning thyroid. And all of your metabolic capacity of the cells is reduced.
Healthy way to get iodine?
Healthy way is from anything from the ocean.
Hmm.
And the iodized salt that they have is not, bummer. If you live on the coast, you actually get it even in the farming communities there. So because of the oceans, they hit the waves hit the shore and the iodine and the salt water gets up into the atmosphere a little bit and it'll go inland somewhat, but in the Midwest all the way down, that doesn't happen.
Don't like fish, but you and I can talk about that later. Okay.
Capers.
This one says, yeah. Capers?
Yeah.
Okay. After suffering chronic Lyme for 55 years, receiving many expensive treatments with functional med doc, she said she really did not have the faith needed to be healed. But then God, in 2019, she received another expensive treatment, an IV infusion of SOT, supportive oligonucleotide, I'm saying that wrong, therapy, which did kill off the Borrelia bacteria over the next few months, rendering her Lyme-free. She says she lives with the damage done by chronic Lyme, but she's able to take it one day at a time with Jesus at her side. Anything you want to say? That's pretty awesome.
That, yeah, good for you for just the endurance, just to keep going. That is, I cannot tell people how hard a journey that is to, because for many years, if she's had it that long, she was told for the first however many decades that it didn't exist. So, good for you. I've had a few people try SOT and without getting the success you had, and I've had others that with it was the game changer. So that's the thing about Lyme is it can be very, very tricky. So I'm happy for the amount of healing you got, and it's still I still am sad for the damage that was done. So but I love hearing stories like that of just perseverance.
That's what makes you so good at what you do, Doc, because you have a pastor's heart. I mean, you didn't skim over that. You acknowledged that long journey, and for those of us who've walked it, it's just, you know, we're not looking for pity, but boy, compassion sure goes a long way, because it is, you privately struggle for so long. So thank you for that. That I put a little bit of that on my heart as well. That's beautiful. And this person, they have a fear that their digestive issues and the IBS will never settle down. Anything you want to say to them?
Oh, it can, and it will. And in our mindset class, I talk about a patient who had colitis, and she'd had for 15 years blood in her stool after every meal. And we worked with her for months, and she had debilitating neck pain. She had to get adjusted 3 times a week by her chiropractor just to kind of keep it at bay. And we found that if we corrected the bowel problems, the neck would go away. She wouldn't need adjustment. And she said, "I'll believe that when I see it," which is a good statement. And after 2 or 3 months, we didn't really make any gains, but a lot of the lab work and all the markers were improving. And this speaks to the self-limiting beliefs, because she kind of fought me on it. Cause I at the end, I said, "There's got to be something we're missing with the belief system." And she said no, but then she was the one, I used it earlier in the show, that said I just said, "Well, it is that unique body that you have." And she said, "Yeah, I hate the unique body that God gave me." And that's when I said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Please go home and what would you tell someone that you were coaching and mentoring at church in the Bible group if they said that to you?" And she came back and said, "I would tell him to repent." And so that night she started thanking God for the body he gave her. And the next week there was no blood in her stool. And then she went a month with no blood in her stool. And then she's now gone 3 years with no blood in her stool and no need for neck adjustments because of the healing that occurred. So
now that's
that was
amazing.
A severe case. Yeah.
And so I want you to believe that God can heal you. And again, we pre-recorded a show prior to this live show. It'll air March 16th. And we dug way into cursing your body versus blessing your body. And I'd really want you to think about that. Especially women tend to do this. I don't know how often men do it. But when your body betrays you, when your body lets you down, the enemy wants you to get into agreement with him and kind of curse your body. And if you've been doing that, I ask you to repent, and I ask you to bring yourself before the Lord and start blessing your temple once again. As we go to break, I want to pray for this friend. Father, I pray for this one with digestive issues and IBS. It's terrible and hard. They don't get to enjoy the food that everybody else does. But I pray, God, you pour out your spirit in a fresh way. And if there are core beliefs, if there are just internal vows or curses that they've made because of heartbreak, that you just reveal those, bring those to the surface, help them to bring those before you where they'll meet you with compassion and mercy and kindness and forgiveness, and you'll cleanse them and heal them. And I pray you change that self-limiting belief to a vision for healing and wholeness. It's who you are. It's what you do. God, I pray for everybody listening today that there would be something that would settle on our hearts, that we would see the smile on your face, and that you are willing. You not only can heal us, you want to. You're willing to. And I pray that faith would rise in this hour for all of us. We thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to tackle a few more questions. When we come back, they're coming in faster than I can keep up, but we'll do our best to get to as many as we can. More with Dr. Troy in a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
And this is going to be a glorious unfolding. Just you wait and see, and you will be amazed.
Thanks so much for tuning in, talking to Dr. Troy today on Susie Larson Live. Health and the healing process is what we cover every month. Today, we've been talking about misdiagnoses and self-limiting beliefs that contribute to our own ailments. And I mean, really, we might need to do a whole show on that and just do some time of ministry because we all have them. And it's super important. You know, we talked right before the break, and we'll really dig into it on the March 16th show about cursing our bodies. And Troy said during the break that we as women tend to be more apt to do that, where men will look in the mirror and whatever they find, they'll be like, not too shabby. But as women, I'm telling you and charging you, look at this. And I've had to look at it too. When your body fails you and betrays you, pay attention to the narrative. I've had to repent of cursing my body and start to thank God for the temple because it's filled with the Spirit and we bear the image of God. We just got a few minutes left, so I'm going to go through as many of these questions. There's so many good ones. I know you're going to love this one, Doc. Cindy writes in, she's been taking PPIs for acid reflux medication for over 10 years. She wants to discontinue them. She's got a very strong family history of acid reflux. What can she do?
Yeah, there's a lot to that. And so a strong history, that could be a lot of different scenarios, but there is something triggering that acid reflux. So generally speaking, we do not make too much stomach acid. It's a lot of energy to make HCl. It requires a lot of extra work. So more commonly, there's a problem with the valve that holds the acid in, or how the stomach is kind of laying. And so melatonin or deep sleep is what helps more than anything. So to create that melatonin, you want to address stress, infection, inflammation. Those are three things that actually can interfere with the deep sleep. Certain food allergies can also, or food sensitivities can trigger reflux, hidden infections like H. pylori. If you're actively in what we call fight or flight, not rest and digest, or you have a sleep disorder, that can trigger it as well. You've got to unearth the original problem that was there. And so if there's a genetic component, meaning it runs in the family, then that's usually something like food, or anatomically something might be off there, or predisposition towards a sleep disorder, which usually occurs from not having proper B vitamins or methylation issues, things along those lines, or treating an anxiety or depression, if that's what runs in the family. There's going to be something, though, that'll help with that. And a lot of times just zinc deficiency can also contribute to that, or copper toxicity.
Pray that God shows you and leads you on the right path so you can get healed and get healthy and get off the antacids. God bless you. Wow. This one, of course, I love it because it starts with Dr. Susie and Dr. Troy, which only one of us is a doctor, but you know, it's fun. All right. This person has seen a common misdiagnosis of Lewy body dementia. I don't even know what that is. I've heard of it. It turns out to be something else. Or is there a common underlying issue that results in symptoms of LBD? Oh, that's super interesting. What do you say? First, tell me what that is, and then tell me more.
It's a type of dementia. I've not seen as much a misdiagnosis with that, but I have seen just in dementia in general. And there is actually quite a bit you can do. Dr. Dale Bredesen wrote a book on Alzheimer's, The End of Alzheimer's, it's called. And so he does talk in there how a lot of LBD or Lewy body dementia might be mistaken for one of the other six factors of Alzheimer's that can be prevented. And we're getting to a season where Alzheimer's, the generation that's in their 80s right now, there's just a lot of it. And so a lot of that can be prevented, but you've got to start in your 50s and 60s to really prevent it. So That's a full weekend seminar. That's actually a full month seminar to go through. Mm. There's 37 different triggers of the six treatable forms of Alzheimer's dementia, and many of those can look like Lewy body at some point. So you'd have to address all 37 pathways. Mold is one of them, or different types of infections is one of the 37 pathways. But there's like I said, there's 36 other ones too. Mm.
Well, this question that came in is so prevalent. I'll just say my own family. I have several siblings, and my mom have dealt with urinary tract infections. So I'm going to just read this because it is amazing that they're my siblings, and yet I feel so, I mean, like there'll be like five bladder infections in 2 months or something. But this dear one says, she's 63 years old, had her first urinary tract infection in the fall. Antibiotics help was fine. Recently, been through every test you can think of. She's not working because she has to relieve herself every 5 to 10 minutes. They've misdiagnosed her UTI several times. They even lost one of her cultures at the lab. In the last week, they told her urine culture was negative on Monday. Yesterday, found out it was positive for Enterococcus faecalis, and I'm currently taking Macrobid. Pray for me that the antibiotic works. I need to go back to work. So that's a little different than what my sisters are dealing with, but what is up with that? What do you say?
Well, there's a lot of factors for that, and there's a lot of different things that can contribute to that. So anyone who has bladder or kidney stones can end up with more UTIs. And then those kidney stones can come from problems in the gut, lining of the gut. It can come from fungus. It can come from glyphosate. So we see a lot of glyphosate toxicity, which is Roundup, triggering the chronic UTIs. And basically, during intimacy, that's where you can get a lot of that too. But with women in particular, changing of estrogen, when you go into menopause, you're predisposed to having more, even pre-menopause. So estrogen levels, if you have estrogen dominance or low estrogen, that can really set that off as well. And then sometimes like there's an actual anatomical component where things don't drain as well. If you're in fight or flight, where you can't be in rest and digest. And so part of that, the other part of that is rest, digest, and sex. So if a tiger's chasing you, it's a horrible time to take a nap, sit down and eat lunch, or become intimate with your significant other. So your brain stops supporting those areas. You have less blood flow to the digestive system, to the sleep centers, to the urinary tract and bowel. And so you don't get as much blood flow or nutrients. The pH starts to change. So just like the pH of the soil in the garden, you won't get the good bacteria and you start to get the bad bacteria growing instead. Or in the garden, you'd get weeds instead of the good crops.
Wow. Okay, we have time for one more. This dear one, I think she speaks for many. She says, for self-limiting beliefs, she's not sure if it qualifies, but she's always believed she's had to essentially bend until she breaks in order to feel like she's worthy of kindness and being loved. She said, I don't want to even admit that belief, but it's crept its way into my entire life and it's draining. Wow. I appreciate her honesty because I think she represents a lot of people, but anything you want to say?
There's a lie. There's a lie there that is being believed somewhere. And so that's actually very, very similar to mine that I wrote about 23 years ago. The belief that I had developed was that I was a weak man. And so I had to prove myself. But that came from a whole bunch of things that happened with life. I was smaller, came from a divorced family, and I tried to I was doing my mom's taxes when I was 11, things like that. I was trying to keep up with the neighborhood fathers and stuff. And so as a young man, you're not a man. So you never know where it comes from. So there's something behind that. And sometimes it comes from a good place, like love and nurture, or that was the perception you have in a parent that you admired or something like that. Either way, though, there's a lie that you have to be that person. So God gave you a unique gift and a unique skill set, and you're enough if you honor that skill set. When we start to overdo it, then the gift that we've been given, we make it more about us. And so it really has to be surrendered. You've got to surrender yourself and allow God to work. And so that's where when we get to the bend but don't break scenario, it can be learned to still allow God to work within you. And it comes from controlling less and surrendering more.
Amen. You know, I often say he doesn't save you to slave you. He saved you because he loves you. I pray that God would just turn that thought around. Troy, thank you for joining us today. Friends, thank you for joining us. I pray you found some encouragement here. There's a whole lot of questions we didn't get to, but we did our best. Be blessed. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.